Thank you for subscribing to Bump in the Road. In this exclusive member-only podcast, Sharon and I continue our conversation, looking at how our lives are continuing to unfold. Sharon is traveling in a fifth wheel, working on a breast cancer initiative in Africa, and focusing her attention on the rich demographic of women 50+, and you'll just love her words of wisdom. Now, how does this play into Breast Advocates International?
Well, Breast Advocates International is the brainchild, actually, of a good friend of mine, Melissa Nye, who is a nurse that I've known for, I don't know, 15, 20 years through many of the Breast Friends years, because she was very much an advocate of what we were doing at Breast Friends. And unbeknownst to me, she had her own passion that she was financing on her own dime to teach women around the world who don't have the luxuries we do in the United States of mammograms or chemo or radiation or, you know, even surgeries to remove the cancer. And so she'd gone to several places. Palestine, she's gone to, she had a trip planned to Haiti, and unfortunately that one kind of went head to head with the earthquake there. But and then she's been to Malawi now twice. We were supposed to go in March last year, and unfortunately with the pandemic that had to be canceled. But I got involved because she wanted to make it more official, you know, and bigger, and be able to reach more women throughout the world who don't have the luxuries we do. I mean, when you talk about a place like Malawi, they're one of the poorest countries in the world. And, you know, to get a mammogram, or, well, you can't even get a mammogram really because the electricity grid isn't in place, you know? So, I mean, it's mind boggling, really. You're taking breast cancer back to about the 30s.
Now, I've read a statistic that it's 100 in Malawi, there's 100% mortality rate from breast cancer.
Yeah, you get it, you die. Because there's no way to diagnose it. There's really not any way to treat it. And then you also have other factors like they have voodoo there, you know, where their belief system is like, this woman wants your man, and so she's going to curse you so you get breast cancer. You know, stuff like that. That's just like...
Yeah, but beliefs can be powerful.
Oh, yeah. And they can kill you, obviously. So yeah. And I am so sad that I didn't have the opportunity to get to Malawi and actually speak from firsthand, because that was really an amazing opportunity. And again, we wanted to go back in October. Nope, that didn't happen either. So maybe
next October.
Hopefully. Yes. I know. It's a tricky thing right now with all that's going on with the pandemic. But at this point, you know, we're trying to do our best. And we kind of are a little low key at this point because there's not much we can do at this point. So we're just hoping to collect some money to be able to continue our work.
What part of breast cancer is sometimes genetic? And you did some really interesting hereditary research recently.
You know, breast cancer, at least like 10 to 15%, they're saying, is genetic. And when I had my breast cancer, I did do a genetic testing probably in 2008, maybe something like that. And I did not have the gene, even though I found out later. In fact, it was in 2008. I'm adopted, and I never knew who my birth mom or father was. And so in 2008, I was turning 55 at that point, and I was like, you know what? If I am ever going to find my birth mother, I better do this. And so I went ahead and hired an intermediary to find her. And the sad thing is, in 96, I'd gotten my non-ID information from the state of Oregon. And that gives you anything that they might have known about my birth mother, except for name, address, and phone number, you know, identifying information. So at the very end of the letter, it said she'd used a fictitious name on my birth certificate. So I kind of put it to bed and didn't do anything with it after that. But then again, 2008 comes rolling around. I'm getting older. I'm thinking, you know what? For some reason, I just need to do this. So I went ahead and spent the money to do it. And my intermediary said, okay, it'll take about 3 weeks. I'll give you a call. She called me in 3 weeks. She had my original birth certificate. And in the same breath, she said, and I found your mother. I'm like, what? What? I mean, I had no clue. So I guess there's two places on a birth certificate, and she signed one of them with a fictitious name, and she screwed up, and she wrote her real name on the other one, I guess. So I was able to connect with her. I had an amazing relationship with her in the last 12 years. Unfortunately, she did just pass away in November at 90. So I felt very honored and blessed to be able to get to know her. And it's so funny how you do. And also I have I was able, because of DNA, because of genetics, I was able to figure out who my birth father was. Unfortunately, he died in 1990. So I never got a chance to meet him, but I have since met a number of half-siblings, actually on both sides. And so it's been quite a ride, quite a ride.
Yeah, that is, because when you meet people, you don't know, just because you're related, you may or may not click. There's no way of knowing.
Yeah. And my birth mom, for instance, was very, very, very wary. Even though she did open the door, which I felt, you know, very thankful for, you know, it took a long time to really create a relationship where she trusted and opened up to me more than just kind of the basics. And, you know, I have several siblings on, I had a brother and a sister, excuse me, before me. She was divorced. Then I was here. And then I have two more younger siblings on her side. And again, all of them have different ways of dealing with me. I mean, you know, most of them were reasonably welcoming. But I really only have a great relationship. Well, and I don't even know if it's even great. I have a relationship with like two of them, two of the four. And, you know, a little Facebook relationship kind of with the other, you know. So again, and then on my father's side, same kind of thing. You know, there's some that want to meet me and others that don't have a desire at all. So, yeah. So expectations are so important for people when they go down this path and decide that they want more information. And of course, there can be lots of skeletons in the closet. I mean, the way I was conceived, literally my mom was divorced and single and got drunk on New Year's Eve. And instead of getting a ticket, she got me. My birth father is a Portland police officer back then in the 50s. So, you know, you just never know how, what's going to come of those kinds of, and you have to be mature enough and able to process those emotions to be able to really even handle some of them, because it can be tricky at times.
I think the maturity to handle a lot of this is hard-earned. And I find it fascinating that you're doing life coaching now and you're focusing on women 50 plus, because I think that that's such an incredibly rich market. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think our society really needs to concentrate on women 50 and over. And instead of, you know, when you're either, you know, done with the baby making and raising kids and maybe even retiring from a job that you've had for a long time or a career, I think a lot of women think they're done. And I don't agree. I think they have so many valuable resources and talents and gifts that they need to share with the world. And so I guess it's my job. I feel like it's my job to remind them of that. I mean, I think we all need those reminders at times that, yeah, we're getting a little bit older and maybe we're not going to be working 40 hours a week or 60 or whatever.
Or 90 or whatever, yeah.
Exactly. And that's okay. I feel so blessed because I've actually retired from Breast Friends and I'm traveling in a fifth wheel all over the country. And who would have thunk that? Well, unless you really think about what you want and what you love and your gifts and your talents, you may not even think that that's something you can do.
No, I agree with you. And I think you have to open up the possibilities because here at, say, 50 plus, you have you have incredible life experiences.
Yes.
You have amazing skills. You have networks. Because you're getting a little older, maybe it's a good time to stop and reassess some things about what are your strengths and weaknesses? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What must you do in this life? What must you absolutely do? I think it's an enormous opportunity. And I think it's also an opportunity to give back to generations coming behind us, whether they will recognize it right now or not.
Yeah.
The stories that we can tell and the wisdom that we can share is really amazing.
And my hope is that people will own that, because I think it's important to understand that we have so much value. And as we're all getting older, obviously, but with the whole baby boomer generation, there's going to be even a lot more of us. And we need to embrace those things. And, you know, whether it's offer your services to a nonprofit in your community, or, you know, like me, if you decide you know travel is really important to you, like that's one of the reasons I got involved with Breast Advocates, was to be able to travel to places that maybe I wouldn't have gone on my own, like Malawi, Africa. But you know, in a group setting, it's not quite as intimidating, right? And, or, you know, if you think you might have a little bit of artistic talent, maybe you can share that with other people too. I'm actually taking a painting class right now. And, the person who's teaching the class is well into his 70s. And he's sharing this gift that he's been given, and he continues to paint himself, but he also is sharing that gift with other people. And of course, there's five women in the class, and we're all over 50. So it's amazing, you know. You might not even realize you have a talent or a love for something until you try it.
I agree. I for one, fell into photography, not intending to do anything with it. And it has really become a very serious hobby. I really enjoy it. And I never would have given it a try if not for some other adverse events that caused my life to go in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I love photography. That's huge.
Well, if there were any words of wisdom you want to leave our audience with?
Oh, we've talked about so many different topics. I think be open to new adventures would probably be one of my words of wisdom. And whether you're young or middle-aged or getting a little older, I think sometimes we stop ourselves from doing things And there's so much power in saying yes.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. Bump in the Road is a production of Cancer Road Trip. Subscribe to the podcast, follow us on social media at Cancer Road Trip, and you can learn more at www.cancerroadtrip.com. Until next time, be safe and be well.